being good at your job does not make you a thought leader. And I see this a lot, especially at larger companies where somebody is making a really big impact on their projects or on their team, but they're not codifying that in a way that someone else could actually implement it. And so if you look at just the basic definition of thought and leadership, you have to have thoughts and you have to be a leader. And if you have no followers, then you are not leading anyone. And so I see this a lot where people may have very smart ideas and they may be very good at their job, but if they're not codifying it and sharing it so that other people can learn, they're not being leaders. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, insight is one of the big ones for very smart people who want to do this. They're like, well, I'm smart. My team is doing really well. Okay, but who outside of your team is able to repeat your results or take your processes and scale them? How are you helping other people? And that's the light bulb of like, oh, this is why I have to write or I have to speak or I have to do a podcast.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Love it. Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach. I am here with Ashley Foss. Ashley, what's up? How are you today?
Hey, happy new year. It is good to kick off the new year by having a conversation about marketing. So it's two of my favorite things, talking and geeking out.
I'm so excited. And just so you know, Ashley, this won't come out for several weeks, so we don't have to talk about resolutions. Everybody's already broken their resolutions by the time this comes out. But it's a new year, it's a new chance, a new conversation. And you're a content marketing pro. I remember I first connected because you had posted something about Domino's, which not very healthy, but definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. And since then, I've been following you, your content marketing. You're basically like a thought leader on thought leadership. I don't know if that's a thing. And just basic biographical stuff, guys. So you're the owner and writer at Consciously Corporate. You're a content strategy lead at Atlassian. Did I say that right?
Atlassian. Yep.
And Ashley's writing has been published on Time, Forbes, Marketing Profs, and The Muse, and she's spoken on various marketing topics for Inbound, Harvard Business Review, and Marketing Profs. So you are a pro at what you do. I'm sure you're humble, but I see you as an expert in something that I'm learning more and more about. So that's introductions, but who's Ashley? You introduce yourself. Who are you outside of work? Who are you as a person? Why are you passionate about this kind of stuff?
Yeah, thank you for the intro. We will come back to the whole thought leader on thought leadership. That's a whole comment thread that we can chase. But no, I am a marketer, writer, and speaker by day, and a singer, actor, and fitness fiend by night. So I intentionally like to blend those personal and professional worlds. I think that we all bring our full selves to each of our experiences. As you saw with the Domino's thing, I'm like, I love pizza. I love marketing. They go together. Like, and then I probably had pizza for dinner that night. I remember that post night, or maybe it was that I had pizza the night before. And then I was like, oh, we have to post on it. Right. So those kinds of things, we bring all of those experiences into each of our worlds. And so I think, especially with the rise of remote work, both before COVID and obviously during COVID, I think a lot of people have started to recognize that the stuff they do outside of the office really impacts us. So that's why I like to include that singer, actor, and fitness fiend by night piece. Yes. I also picked up baking and cake decorating during quarantine. So I may or may not have to like slot in buttercream aficionado or something. Ooh. Somewhere in there.
I love that, buttercream aficionado. So you're full personality and you're full of skills in the marketing field, as your resume says. So I want to get into thought leadership. I want to get into content marketing, all that stuff. But I want people, in case they're not driving or at the gym or something like that, they want to scroll through and learn more about you. Let's first introduce your personal business as a writer and a speaker. Tell us a little bit about Consciously Corporate.
Yeah. So Consciously Corporate actually started out as a blog that I wrote for basically daily for almost 9 years. And it kind of started out when I was very first starting. Marketing is that weird field where no one will give you experience unless you already have experience, but you can't get experience unless you get experience. And so I kind of used it as a way to just start to build up my own skills, my own observations. And that then turned into something where now I had writing samples that I could use to show, hey, if you want me to come run your blog from a company perspective, yes, in fact, I am a good writer. And yes, in fact, I can stick to an editorial calendar. Once I started sharing content with other, you know, places, both from a speaking perspective and a writing perspective, it became a way to have a place to house that content. I'm actually due for a refresh on that site. It's been on WordPress from like a decade ago. I did a refresh maybe 5 years ago, but now actually I put the bulk of my content and speaking and those kinds of things on LinkedIn because I really like the conversation. And so that is now more of an archive of the stuff that I do. And it has evolved. You'll see the tagline now says, and sometimes out of office. Again, when I first started it, it was like, I have to be a very serious career person. Like people have to know that I am the serious person and that I have the skills. And now I'm like, okay, but also part of the reason I'm a good public speaker is because I do all this theater. And part of the reason that I have such high empathy for my audience is because I'm constantly trying on new characters in theater. And part of the reason I have so much energy is because I'm fit and I'm active and I'm in the gym, you know? And so I started to realize I already bring all of that stuff into my day-to-day work and into the content that I share and the things that I speak about. But I should probably go ahead and acknowledge that on, you know, my blog or my website as well.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, guys, follow her on LinkedIn, start a conversation, engage in the content. I've blogged, I'll put up blogs, but it's so boring. The comment section's so just sad and lonely. Connect on LinkedIn, see the blogs, the articles there. With you and your writing and your speaking, like, do you take on clients or is your focus on Atlassian?
My focus is on Atlassian. So I, earlier in my career, I would do, you know, freelance or consulting or those types of things. These days it's much more focused on my day job. And then I do the speaking and the writing, as a personal passion. And the other thing that I will say about that too, again, I can bring this all back to thought leadership. Yes. Whether you directly monetize those opportunities or not, it does help you build your personal brand. It does help position you as an expert. It can result in additional job offers. It can result in having things to talk about in your performance review to say, hey, this is the impact that I'm making outside of Atlassian, that now your whole audience is like, what does Atlassian do? Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, right? So especially once you start becoming more senior in your career, that ability to make an impact outside of your own team and outside of your own company becomes much more important. That ability to become a spokesperson on behalf of the company, well, you can't do that if you haven't been showing up that way as an expert prior to getting the big title or the official company endorsement to go do these things. So it's kind of a push and pull. People definitely think that, oh, I must be trying to sell a book. Nope, I don't actually have a book to sell. Or, oh, you're trying to sell freelance services. I'm like, no, in fact, I'm not selling anything. I'm selling an idea, which is thought leadership, content, audience, community, all of those things is where marketing should be going. And you can buy that idea by just taking it and learning from it and implementing it yourself. So it's funny that you kind of refer to it as a business, because I actually don't. I refer a lot of work out to people in my network, which again, if your listeners land there and see something that they're like, I need help with this, I have a great network of peers and collaborators who do accept freelance or consulting clients that I'm happy to refer you to.
You're a connector, and I love the passion, whether or not you're trying to monetize it. You're actually making a movement here. You're changing people's lives. I've said this a million times, but I want you to do most of the talking. But one thing I've said in the past is, like, let's say you're an accountant, you work in a dark room, and you don't talk to people for a living. What happens the moment that you want to support a charity and you need to find donors? Or what happens the moment when you're trying to rally the troops to come to an event? You can utilize that thought leadership and that personal brand no matter what. And it's all that, it's the digging the well before you're thirsty, building those relationships, adding value, connecting with people without an ask. And then the moment the ask, as soon as Ashley has an ask, I'm going to raise my hand and support you because of that. Good buddy of mine, he's been on the show, Kevin Rustici. He worked for ADP, large HR firm. And when he left corporate, he pivoted and started HR Evolution, or HR Revolution, however they say it. I'm really trying to change the game in HR and change more human-centric, more customer-centric, more employee-centric, more emotionally intelligent. But since he had been building his brand on LinkedIn for years and years, he pivoted and then had a business immediately, left corporate, started a business with that brand. So you tell me about thought leadership at a higher level, because first let's start with thought leader on thought leadership. Does that even make sense? Well, what is your reaction to that term?
Yeah. So I created a four-pillar framework. It's credibility, profile, being prolific, and depth of ideas. And as part of that framework, when you dive into each of those pillars, I've tried to assign some fairly objective metrics and milestones for each of those, right? Because a lot of people will claim to be a thought leader. They'll put it in their title on LinkedIn, yes, or they'll write a book and be like, oh, Ashley is the definitive thought leader. That's real weird. Why am I talking about myself in a third person? Again, it's like people who claim to be a visionary. Like, yes, you kind of just want to call BS on that. That, well, if you were so visionary, why would you say that about yourself? It's just weird. So humorously, one of the metrics that I have around the profile pillar is basically the number and nature of your following on social media. And so according to my own framework, my following is not big enough for me to be even a kind of a middle tier thought leader in that pillar. You basically, you know, again, to give people a sense of progress and a sense of focus on where they need to build if they're just starting out on this journey of becoming a thought leader. According to my own metrics, I'm just barely starting to even break into the middle tier on the profile piece.
Define so that. It's funny. Define that, I, according to my own metrics.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish that thought, and then I want to get into the actual pillars and the metrics, because according to my own metrics, I'm like, I want to know more what these metrics are. But I derailed. What were you saying there, Ashley?
Oh, well, basically just that the metrics that I had started out with in terms of the nature of the followers and the number of the followers. So again, some of this is highly biased coming from a larger company in SaaS. So full disclosure that these metrics might not apply for every single person or every single industry, but the tier that I had set was that you have to have at least 5,000 followers on LinkedIn, and that the nature of those followers is basically that more people know you than you know. So when you're very first starting, you have very few connections or followers, and the majority of them, you have actually met them face to face, whether that's at a conference, whether you've worked together in the past. Like, if you look at the network of people who would not necessarily be considered thought leaders, they know most of their connections. Right. And so if you look at the nature of my connections and my following, I don't have 5,000 followers, and I've just now started to, I guess, crest that hill where I have more people who know me or that I've never actually met than previously. in the past, we probably actually met at a conference, even if it was briefly, or we were introduced through a mutual friend or something like that. I've just now started to get to the point where people I don't know follow me or say, oh, I heard your name somewhere else where I don't have that connection. So that would be, again, according to my own metrics, I don't have objectively the number of followers or the nature of followers that I would say you need to have to be a thought leader.
Got it. So if someone personally DMs you asking for baking tips and you've never met them before, it's high probability you're starting to become a thought leader.
I'm going to say yes. Yes. If people reach out to you for baking tips, like that's a whole other level in that profile pillar for sure.
Let's walk through the four pillars because I didn't write them down because I'm being present with you. I do this when I re-listen. I take notes. If you aren't driving or at the gym or running, and if you're sitting down, take some notes here. What are the four pillars again? And let's just walk through each of the four.
Sure. So I'll give the overview and then we can dive in. So we've got credibility, we've got profile, we've got being prolific, and we've got depth of ideas. So I'll dive into each, but I'll kind of frame up the framework a little bit. So I have been wrestling with this problem of what is thought leadership? Who is a thought leader? How do you build a thought leader? How do you create thought leadership content? Where does it fit in the marketing mix? All of those problems, I've been wrestling with them for the better part of the last decade. So I finally came up with this four-pillar framework. It resonates with me. The tactics that I created underneath it are things that I use in my own marketing practice at Atlassian and beyond. And so it may or may not work for every single person. There's different definitions. But it is focused on knowledge workers. So it's not about being a celebrity. It's not about just being famous. And if you look at the pillars, you'll see that being famous is often about that profile. It's you don't necessarily have credibility and you don't necessarily have ideas. You're just really well known. The other piece of this is that being good at your job does not make you a thought leader. And I see this a lot, especially at larger companies where somebody is making a really big impact on their projects or on their team, but they're not codifying that in a way that someone else could actually implement it. And so if you look at just the basic definition of thought and leadership, you have to have thoughts and you have to be a leader. And if you have no followers, then you are not leading anyone. And so I see this a lot where people may have very smart ideas and they may be very good at their job, but if they're not codifying it and sharing it so that other people can learn, they're not being leaders. Mm-hmm. And so that I think insight is one of the big ones for very smart people who want to do this. They're like, well, I'm smart. My team is doing really well. Okay. But who outside of your team is able to repeat your results or take your processes and scale them? How are you helping other people? And that's the light bulb of like, oh, this is why I have to write or I have to speak or I have to do a podcast, which gets at the other pillar, which is being prolific. Mm-hmm. So again, you're not going to build any followers if you don't share things and you're not going to build on those thoughts if you don't share them. And so all of the pillars work in tandem. I often see people think that this is a linear process. Oh, first I build credibility. Then I have to write all the things. Then, and I'm like, they all go together, right? Building that depth of ideas and codifying them, that tends to build your credibility. But also if you're a practitioner with a lot of experience, you probably already have that credibility, but if you're not sharing it, it's going to be really hard for you to build a profile. If you don't have good depth of ideas, if you're just spouting off controversial nonsense, you may gain a lot of followers, but you're not saying anything smart. You're just, you know, yelling really loud. And so they have to go together. And so each pillar, what I like to do with people, if I'm working with them, and I've done this for a few folks at Atlassian, you basically go through and kind of score yourself according to each of the tactics. So for example, being prolific, I've set metrics to say, how many channels are you sharing on? How many different types of assets are you creating? And how often are you creating or sharing those assets? Are you going on podcasts? Are you creating bylines? Are you sharing regularly on at least one social media channel? What I find is that a lot of founders and C-suite executives have a very, very high credibility. They're very smart people. They may even have a decent profile because they've been in the industry for a very long time. So they know a lot of people, but they're not prolific and their depth of ideas is very low. Again, not that they're not smart. They just haven't taken the time to crystallize those and codify them and share them. So when we score them, we see, okay, we have to put in place the support to help you create content. On the flip side of that, what I see from a lot of practitioners is that they may actually be sharing a lot, but nobody's really listening. Mm. And so in that case, okay, if we want to boost them, we need to put kind of the muscle and the brand name behind them so that we can build their profile. So that's kind of the two spectrums that I see in terms of, you know, C-suite or exec or founder compared to practitioners. So I'll stop there. That's a lot, but I'll let you dig in.
Yeah, well, in a moment, I want to dig in and maybe just do a hypothetical example, because my question, the lingering question is, oh my God, this is so much information. Where do I start? How do I assess myself, figure out where I stand? How do I rate myself? How do I determine if I'm on the right track or on track? Any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. I have shared the framework, including the tactics with the metrics of you need to share this many types of content in this many different places, this many times per month. You need to have this many followers. The other thing that I talk about is also kind of the nature of the places where you're speaking or sharing. So, you know, just, oh, I present at my team meeting every week. That's very good practice for you, but your team is only however many people. And again, it's internal, right? So when do you start taking that external? So I have shared that on LinkedIn. I'll send you a link if you want to include it, or it's in my featured section on LinkedIn.
I literally just hired someone to help with show notes. So the show notes are going to be timestamped, beautiful.
Oh, perfect.
Please send me all the links. They'll be in there. My show notes are okay, but we're moving to the next step. So send me everything, Ashley.
Okay.
Go
perfect.
On.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'll send you a link. So I have shared this on LinkedIn and it does include the tactics. So what I recommend for anyone first, take a look through those and be honest with yourself about where you fall. I recommend people rate themselves red, yellow, or green. So if you're red, that means it's not going too well. You got a lot of work to do there. If you're yellow, that means you're starting to make progress. And so depending on how you fare in the other areas, it might be a good place for you to focus more effort in those yellow areas. For the places where you're green, that's great. You want to stay green there. Again, I see sometimes people flip-flop, right? Where they get so focused on, okay, I just have to focus on this one thing. I have to grow my social media. I have to post every day. And they forget that they need to keep developing that depth of ideas. They need to keep wrestling with whatever that expertise is. So that scoring will give you the first steps. Now, in some cases, people are red on everything. They're like, I have no credibility. I have no profile. My followers are zero. I haven't written anything ever in my life. I have no ideas. Well, you're not a thought leader. And if you don't feel some passion to put in the work to develop ideas and share them, then you don't actually want to be a thought leader. And that's okay. Yes. Again, I see this a lot with the biggest question I get is, how do we get busy executives to make time? They never have time to write. They never have time to speak. They never have time to do press. Do they have time to develop ideas? No. Okay, then they're not a thought leader. Like, I don't know what to tell you. If you have no thoughts and you're not a leader, again, you're missing the definition, right? So
I'm not a golfer and I don't like the golf. So I don't aspire to be a golfer and yeah. I don't pretend that I'm a golfer. So you might not be a thought leader and that's okay, right?
Yeah. And I think my latest kind of rant about this is that people have started to conflate quality with thought leadership. And that is incorrect. You can have quality sales content. You can have quality educational content, you can have quality tutorials, you can have quality community. That is not thought leadership. And so if we can separate, again, this gets back to being good at your job. Well, if I'm good at my job, I must be a thought leader. No, this is a very specific, in my opinion, category of person, content, ideas, and sharing. And that's totally fine. If you're not that person, it doesn't mean that you can't advance in your career. It doesn't mean that you can't be an effective leader on your team. It doesn't mean that you can't create quality content. So if we can divorce that idea of quality or good equals thought leadership, I think we should do that. So for folks who are just starting out, this dovetails with my other big passion around content strategy. I have a framework for that, which I will send you, around content depths and creating a narrative. And so the goal here, particularly for people who are not marketers, I think this resonates a lot. Marketers, we get stuck on the funnel of like, awareness, consideration, and purchase. And non-marketers are like, I don't know what any of these things are. I'm an accountant. I don't need anyone to purchase anything. I'm just trying to do my job, right?
Six levels, pyramids? Funnels?
There's infinity loops now, which is terrifying. Even to me as a marketer, I'm like, y'all, why are we stuck in the infinite loop of sales and marketing content? It's terrifying. So I like to think of it, the analogy that I use is a playground. And if you think about it, there's no right way to play on the playground. There's no particular order. You can chart your own path through that. You can enter and exit as you please. And it's really about delight and engagement. And so if you think about that, that completely changes your mindset that, oh, I'm not trying to sell myself as an expert, or I'm not trying to sell my company. It's, I'm here to have a conversation. People ask me questions and I answer them. I know things about them. Great. I will start to share. That's one great way to share. If you've never done it before and you're like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know who my people are. Just start with, what is one question that you answered for someone today? And what is one question that you asked someone today? Because we're constantly asking and we're constantly answering. And even if you think that question is unique to you, somebody else has it. Like, the world is a big place. My other rule in terms of content creation, especially to help new folks, is if you answer the same question three times, you need to write or create a longer form piece of content on that. Because clearly you're pulling from some knowledge or resources, or there's a reason that you're the person that everyone asks. And so a one-off question, you can probably just, here's a quick answer. That's great. That might be an excellent post for LinkedIn or Twitter. But if you get asked three times, okay, how did you go about gathering that information? Where did you go about searching for it? How has your mindset changed from the time that you initially knew the answer to the time that you shared it for the third time? All of that is really great fodder for a long form article or a 5 to 6 minute video. So if we think about that, so that's kind of the low touch way to just start, to just get in the habit. I hear this from a lot of people too. They have imposter syndrome. Oh, I'm not good on camera. Oh, I'm a terrible writer. Oh, no one cares. Well, again, you answered a question for someone today. Mm-hmm. So someone valued your opinion and expertise and experience. There's probably more than one person who can get value from that. So just start getting comfortable. That'll help you start to see, what are the things that you're passionate about? What are the things that you're actually good at talking about and you have a lot to say? Then you can go and say, let's hone that into a more kind of proper strategy. So if you look at the conceptual, strategic, and tactical levels, that also gives you fodder. So conceptual is about the what and the why. It helps you frame up the problem space. So if you think about this conversation, I have framed up kind of what at a high level is thought leadership. Mm-hmm. At the strategic level, this is focusing on the processes, the knowledge component, and the tools that people need to be successful. How do you make that conceptual idea reality? And so this is helping you frame up the solution space. So again, thinking about this, I talked about kind of high level what thought leadership is at a conceptual level. I'm now going through this framework. It's got four pillars. It's got an associated framework to create content. And that's at the strategic level. And then at the tactical level, this is your, you know, daily tips, your habits, your five ways to do X, Y, and Z. And so, for example, the questions that I just shared as prompts, those would fall into that tactical level. So if we think about even this conversation, it maps back into the conceptual, strategic, and tactical. And I can dive into each of these things. And you see, I've connected it now to content strategy. And so that's where I found that intersection between thought leadership and content strategy. And I've got conceptual, strategic, and tactical things that are associated with both of those, and I can make connections. And so that's how you start to build out, how on earth am I going to come up with content four times a week? Well, I'm very passionate about this topic. I've got multiple different depths and multiple different intersection points. So I can talk about this for, you know, an hour if that's what we want to do, because I've chosen a topic that I'm passionate about, right, have that deep expertise, and I have a bunch of personal examples that I can map to.
Yeah, personal examples. You are a deep expert. You know what you're talking about. We all have imposter syndrome. In case anyone doesn't know, we all have imposter syndrome. I have it, and then I prove myself wrong, and then I start wondering why I have such anxiety over things that I'm actually way better at than I give myself credit for. So most listeners are definitely going to be in the yellow or the red. Or if they think they're in the green, they're a guru, visionary, they might have blinders on. They're probably fooling themselves. I like the concept of being like on the high end of the yellow, because I like that chip on my shoulder. I feel like if I think I'm in the green, I'll just get cocky and lazy, and I don't want that to happen. But let's just assume everyone's in the yellow or the red. Let's get tactical and go through one of two options, or you can do both if we want. Either a case study, or we'll go through a hypothetical. Would you rather give a case study of a client or a thought leader that speaks to you? Or would you rather walk through a hypothetical, or both?
Oh, man. Okay. We can go through a case study because I think there's some really nice intersections. There was an executive that I worked with at Atlassian to kind of execute, work through this framework and help build content for him. So we can talk about kind of what we did and the impact. And I think there's some good intersections from a content strategy standpoint as well for the marketers that are listening. And then for the folks who are non-marketers, this person is actually a non-marketer. So it's a good balance.
Perfect. Yeah. And most of the listeners aren't just marketers. They're business people, but they like personal development. They like self-development. They like learning. So everyone's on board. So put on that marketing lens, no matter what you do for a career. And let's dive into this example. So you said he was
So he's, I'd say more like SVP, like senior vice president level in our engineering organization. And so, first of all, if we back way, way up and talk about how thought leadership fits in at the organizational level, it's not just about selling products. It's about attracting talent. It's about building trust with your existing customers. It's about educating them and helping them improve for the future. And then, yes, there is definitely a piece of it that helps sell products. But when you start talking about thought leadership, we don't need to go specifically into, oh, well, Jira has this one feature, Trello has this feature, Confluence has this feature. That's not thought leadership. That's sales content. And it can be great. I think we have really great sales content. We explain to you what we do. That's not what this is about. So in this case, we, like many tech companies, want to hire more talent. And that gets more difficult as the world grows and as people have the ability to work remotely and change jobs. And so hiring is a huge goal for us. And so when we talk about thought leadership, we want to be seen as creative problem solvers. We want to be seen doing interesting work, tackling hard and interesting engineering problems. So it's not just about, do I want to work on this product? It's, do I think that I can grow my engineering skills effectively at this company if they hire me? As a customer, do I think that this company can scale with me? Because here's the problems that I'm trying to solve. Are they trying to help me solve those same problems? So that was the focus that we went into this conversation with him. He's very skilled from an engineering perspective. He can talk about languages and architectures and systems. But what we realized is that we wanted him to talk about scaling organizations, both from an engineering standpoint in terms of talent and from a system standpoint. And so what we did is we worked through the conceptual, strategic, and tactical levels and talked, basically landed on these research kind of first principles that he uses. So there's a concept called Conway's Law. There's a concept called Dunbar's Number. There's a variety of different concepts that are seminal works, both from an engineering perspective and a kind of social sciences perspective, that inform how he builds and runs his teams, both from a people management standpoint and from kind of a systems and architectural standpoint. So we used that as the foundation of his content. And so we went through and we said, how would we do this? Okay, conceptually, we're going to talk about how to effectively scale your engineering organization. And that includes your tools, your people, your processes. At the strategic level, we're going to talk about these research-backed principles. And then we're going to pair those with stories of, you know, throughout his career, both prior to Atlassian and at Atlassian, about how those principles played out. And then at the tactical level, that's where you start to give the very specific advice. Again, whether that's a personal story, whether that's diagrams of literal system architecture, you know, and the differences between choosing one type or another. So first we created an article about that so that we could really flesh out the idea and we could set it up at the different depths. We then turned that into an abstract for several different keynotes to a variety of different developer audiences. So that could be other CTOs. It could even be team leads, senior level architects, individual contributors, et cetera. They're having to think across these systems of people and tools. Then we turned each of those into posts on LinkedIn so that he could share, hey, here's what Dunbar's number is. And it's basically that there are certain sizes of groups where things start to break. So what do you do when each of those things break? So that can turn into a whole series of posts of what is Dunbar's number? At each of these points, here's the three things that you need to do when you're at 5, when you're at 15, when you're at 100 to make sure that you're not breaking once you hit these specific numbers according to Dunbar. And you can do that with each of the research principles, which is what we did. So we summarized the principle, and then depending on where an organization is in the life cycle, we started to share some content around what that principle helps you see. So that could be warning signs that, hey, you're going off the rails. It could be solutions of how to get back to the right equilibrium. And then as you can see, that obviously has tons of opportunity to turn into articles, keynotes, quotes from a press standpoint about when Atlassian has made choices around our own systems and processes and people. Why did we do that? Oh, well, in fact, may we refer you to this article about these principles. And so that's how you end up with enough content at enough different depths across a bunch of different channels.
Enough content, endless content on channels, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And okay, so a lot of people might feel overwhelmed. And as you know, as someone who loves fitness and health, you know, there's mind, there's body, there's spirit, there's diet, there's upper body, lower body. How do I know that I have the right blend? How do I know that I'm being holistic? Like, is it just 25, 25, 25, 25, 33? A lot of people say 80, 20, do 80% value, 20% sales. How do I know the right blend? Is it personalized to me? Or what are your thoughts on just blending this content and knowing that I'm doing the right thing?
Everyone will be very surprised and annoyed to hear that, yes, in fact, it does depend. And it is unique to the person. So one pitfall that I see is a lot of people don't choose a topic area with enough depth that intersects with their passion. And so I see a lot of people thinking, okay, I have done all of these things, so therefore I have to talk about every single one of them. And so they start just like throwing out all these ideas. So what I would suggest to make sure that they get enough depth in a topic to fuel that content is, yes, do a brain dump of all the ideas and then start to make connections. Which of these things go together? Anything that's just a random one-off, set that to the side for now, because otherwise you're going to try to go chase that rabbit and you're going to get very confused. Once you start to see those groups, that starts to inform kind of the conceptual level topics that you're going to talk about. So if you look at what I talk about, I draw on a lot of different things, but it's content strategy, it's thought leadership, and it's social media strategy. And if I draw Venn diagrams around those, you'll see that there's intersections across all of them. I don't talk about events. I've done event logistics. I've been the person ordering the carpet and the person ordering the booth graphics. You'll notice that I pretty much never talk about that, even though it's a place where I do have experience. And so that's one thing that I would say is put it all out there, group it, and that way you make sure that you've got something with enough depth. I would then say, okay, you've got your kind of strategic things, your conceptual things, call it 3 to 5 total. Underneath each of those, are there at least 3 to 5 things that you could talk about with them? And then obviously from a tactic standpoint, let's say, are there 3 to 5 things? So once you build that out, you should have a pillar that's got about 15 things underneath it. Now, that is not to say that each of those has to be a full-on 5,000 word article. No,
right.
That's not the point. It could be an image. It could be a model like a Venn diagram or a spectrum. It could be a series of words and you're defining those words. There's a lot of different ways that that could come to life. A lot, again, people get stuck on, you mean I have to have 15 pieces of content? No, that's not what I said. 15 bullet points, right? And so then you start to kind of see that mix. One example that I love to give about in the fitness realm is if you say, what does it mean to be healthy and fit as a question, mm-hmm. at a conceptual level, you're going to answer that question very differently if you're Runner's World versus Yoga Journal versus Muscle and Fitness. And so at the strategic level, again, you're going to start to see things like form, things like breathing practices, those things are going to differ. But when you get down to the tactic level, how many different exercises are there to build your biceps, like just focusing on one? So oh my I would gosh, say yeah. most of it is probably going to be more tactics and strategic heavy, just because you're getting into the nitty gritty details. And so again, there's not like, oh, okay, cool. So 25, 50, what does that get me to? That doesn't get me to 100, but basically it's not mm-hmm. necessarily a pyramid, and it can flex depending on the medium, depending on your mood. Sometimes people are like, oh, I want to have these really lofty ideas. Other times people are like, no, nah, I'm on a roll. Here's a 10 tip series about this thing. So I think it really, the goal is to have a cohesive thought that you can talk about in a variety of ways for a long period of time.
So you want to be cohesive, and it's not going to just come to you. So take notes. Ultimately, anyone listening, Ashley, send over some of these templates and these exercises. We'll put them in the show notes, because I know personally it's lots of information where I'm going to want to re-listen, take my own notes, realize that I'm not going to know everything right off the bat, go through some of these exercises, some of these templates, move from the red to the yellow, maybe start working my way into the green, become yep. a thought leader. And if you don't want to be a thought leader, you still got to learn a ton about it. And you probably know thought leaders that you can basically be on their side, because you tell me, to me, it's not all about thought leadership, but it is all about partnering on causes. So I might not be the thought leader, but my buddy might be a thought leader, and I can be by their side supporting them, allowing that cause, that thought leadership, that message to come out, right? We don't all have to be thought leaders. Am I correct?
Yeah. So it's funny you bring that up. I'm actually working on a talk about, in theory, it's framed up as a social media spectrum, but it's this idea of kind of amplification versus advocacy versus being an ambassador. And so when we first start, when we come up with these things, to your point, it's like, okay, I have to be the person that gets out there and talks. And so somebody else needs to just amplify what I'm doing. The more mature you become, you start to realize that actually, having somebody who can help be a connector, having somebody advocate for your idea on your behalf, or having even equipping somebody to now be an ambassador of that idea, that's a completely different mindset. And so one of the things that I love receiving is I've had people where I've delivered a talk or I've shared these templates, and somebody comes back to me and is like, hey, will you review my marketing strategy or my content strategy or my thought leadership strategy for the next quarter? Because I used your template. And I'm like, it worked. Like, these tools are helpful for me. But when I find out that they're helpful to somebody else, I'm like, this is the best thing ever. And so we've moved from just somebody sharing an article that I wrote, which is great. And I appreciate when people do that, to someone maybe just internally saying, oh, hey, I heard about this idea, we should maybe do it, to somebody coming back and saying, no, I've done this myself and it works, and now I'm going to tell you how you can do it too. That's the ultimate success. That's the ultimate thought leadership, is that now somebody can be an ambassador. I'm not the only person who's saying this works. Somebody else took it and made it their own and improved on it. And so I agree with you. We don't all have to be thought leaders. We can have people, and we're not always thought leaders in every journey. Like, every relationship that I'm in is not, I'm the dominant person. Sometimes I'm the person who's just coming in and being the amplifier for now. It's like, oh, I heard this and I think it's smart. Someone else might want to know about this, you know? And then eventually maybe I do become an ambassador of the idea or something like that. Right. So it's also fluid between relationships and time, that if you think you always have to be the person talking, that also sets you up sometimes for not being able to listen and learn to incorporate that into your depth of ideas. So that listening and learning from others is a key piece of it as well.
I'm going to nerd out personally on listening and learning, because this is like just mind blowing for me, because I see myself as a professional amplifier. Like before this podcast, before my business, I had a music podcast. I did music promotion. I did booking for bands. I was a bad musician. And ultimately, I was an advocate. I was an amplifier. Literally, I was an amplifier for people that were amplifying music, right? Now, I like to amplify business people, thoughts. And part of me in my head is like getting all stuck. Like, am I a thought leader on amplifying other thought leaders? Like, is that even thought leadership? That's like some weird, like, micro thing. Because really, I don't want to be a thought leader, but I like amplifying other thought leaders. And then people come to me and they're like, I really like the way you made me look. Or I really like that you brought this person on as a guest. And I'm like, am I a thought leader for amplifying thought leaders? This is interesting, but maybe that's my niche. I don't know, Ashley. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that's interesting, I mean, this idea of being, I call it a nexus. And that could be a social nexus. It could be a business nexus. Like those, you know, those people who just know everyone. Mm. And it's like, they always have the right recommendation for you. Like, I'm looking for help on this. You know who you should talk to? And it's 100% the right person.
Right.
And so I feel like maybe it's not like thought leadership on amplifying thought leaders, but maybe it's being a thought leader on being the nexus. Mm. The way I think about it too is the person at the party, like nobody wants to listen to that person just drone on about themselves.
No.
But you want to be the person at the party that is making those introductions to other smart people. And so when you look at even not professionally, but in social groups, the person that is the nexus always knows who the right person is, or where the coolest experience is, or who's going to throw the best party, because they're connected to everyone. And so you find that actually they're not necessarily the ones hosting the party all the time, but they always know how do you find the coolest restaurant or the coolest people, right? So maybe that's it. Maybe you're the nexus.
And I think a lot of listeners are nexuses too, because maybe you don't want the limelight, but you do want to connect and you do want to build relationships and build value. So Ashley, this has been incredible. I can't let you go without the rapid fire round. This is where we just get Ashley at the core as a human, just a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Short answer, either or questions, fill in the blank, say pass. It's like Family Feud, that it's quick and it's, you know, easy, short answered. It's like, whose line is it anyway, that the points don't matter? They're completely subjective to whatever the heck you want to say. So we'll start with coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Favorite season?
Oof. This one is actually hard. I think I'm going to go summer.
Summer? Social media platform. Where do you hang out the most?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Are you a morning person?
Oh, this one is complicated. I would say,
what time do you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, well, I think the answer is I'm a very busy and focused person, and so the way I get more hours in the day is to get up earlier, but I would not call myself a morning person.
So you've got conviction, dedication that you'll wake up in the morning, even though it's not your disposition to wake up at the 5 a.m. or 4 a.m.
We used to have sleeping contests when I was a kid. Pro tip to the parents, like, challenge your kid to a sleeping contest on Saturday morning and you will get to sleep in. I would legit lay in my bed and I was like, I'm sleeping until noon. I'm going to beat my parents at this game. We all won. So I definitely, if I had it my way, I would sleep in a lot, but again, too much to do.
Longer form answer, take as much time as you want, but where do you learn this? Learn this stuff from? Is there other thought leaders that you aspire to be like, anyone that you follow and you're influenced by? Anyone come to mind?
Yeah. So there's quite a few on LinkedIn, shocker. I really enjoy the work that Dan Sanchez is doing. I think he's been doing a great job talking about audience growth, talking about thought leadership. There's a woman named Sarah Stella Lanzanio. Her last name is Italian, so I struggle a bit with the pronunciation, but she's great. She talks a lot about personal branding. She has, you know, real talk on marketing. Kathleen Booth is another marketing executive. She comes from the startup world, that has a ton of great content. And then if you want some really nitty gritty tips on LinkedIn content creation, like just getting started, Emily Brady. So she's a colleague of Dan Sanchez's. They've partnered to do a lot of great work. So those are a few of the folks on LinkedIn, that I've been following, and I love their content.
Again, I'm going to take notes. I'm going to stalk, look up all these people. The one person I do know is Dan Sanchez because he's one of the hosts, you know, this of B2B Growth. That's a great podcast. You were on B2B Growth.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's kind of like when, let's imagine you're in from a very small town and you listen to a very obscure band and no one in your entire town listens to that band. And then you go to a concert and then suddenly everybody loves that band and they're singing the lyrics and you're like, oh my God, like there's a whole 5,000 of me running around and I never even knew it. That's what B2B Growth was for me, because a lot of what I do with this podcast and what I teach, I literally was teaching it and doing it. And then I found B2B Growth and what Dan Sanchez does and what they do over there. And they clarified my vision. I was like, this is what I'm doing by accident, kind of falling forward. And B2B Growth's like, if you're subscribed to this podcast, then go subscribe to that podcast, because it's so tactical conversations with marketing professionals, B2B businesses. But really what they're doing is B2B networking, forming relationships, creating content, mutually beneficial. I don't want to go on a big rant, but what I devised is the CAN system, and it's create, connect, collaborate, and network. So in short, that is the purpose of my networking, to create, collaborate, and connect. It's exactly what they do on B2B Growth. So shout out to them. We're going to connect with you on LinkedIn. Anywhere else we should follow you? What should I go do to get to know Ashley a little bit more?
Yeah. So definitely follow me on LinkedIn, connect with me on LinkedIn, DM me on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. You'll see me all the time on LinkedIn. I do hang out on Twitter a little bit as well. Not as proactive on Twitter. I'm usually there once or twice a day. But would love to see people on LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm at Ashley Foss on both of those. So just first name, last name, I should be the first search result if you pop it into either of those two platforms.
Also in the show notes. And to close out, let's assume I have a pen, paper out. Give me one more tactical thing that's simple that as soon as this podcast streams ends, I can write down or I can go do. Anything come to mind, something tactical that I can start today to be a better content marketer, to be a better thought leader?
I would reiterate, write down what is the one question that you answered today and the one question that you asked today. And then obviously, you know, pair those with the answers that you gave and you received. And then go share that. So I guess technically that's three things, but it's write down the question that you asked, write down the answer that you gave, and then go share that question and answer publicly.
Perfect tactical advice. Ashley, you're incredible. I wish I could have two more hours with you. I really do appreciate you taking the time with me and coming on the show.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks so much for all the fun questions and chasing all the fun tangents with me. It's fun to geek out with someone else about this stuff.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.